Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to the regularly scheduled Thursday, August 20th, 2009, City of Morro Bay Tourism Business Improvement District Advisory Board meeting. At this time, we'll call it to order. And are you doing roll call, Rob?
Who's not present? I was just going to have him make it in the notes. I can't recall who is not here.
Michelle.
Yeah.
Okay, Michelle's the only one. We'll note that Hawkins is not here and everybody else is here and accounted for.
Okay, terrific. Then at this time, I'd like to open up the floor for public comment. Any members of the public wishing to step forward and address the board may do so at this time. Please state your name. Seeing no one step forward, I will close public comment. And we will move forward to the approval of the minutes. Did everybody have an opportunity to look over the minutes? It's a resounding yes. Are there any corrections to the minutes, as anyone saw? No? Then I take a motion to approve those.
Turn that on. Make a motion to approve the minutes.
And I'll second.
Any discussion? No? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Now we're going to move to four, the unfinished business, for which I don't believe that we have a list of unfinished business. We're moving basically straight down to new business, five. And on new business, we will have a presentation regarding the Jackrabbit reservation system.
I'll go ahead, if you may.
John.
I'll introduce. This is Steve Mead, and he's with the company of Jackrabbit. And as you all recall, we talked about the possibilities of looking at a reservation booking system on the website as we do the redesign for the website, which is part of your discussion today. And this is really just information only. Steve agreed to come up.
Taking that from the hotels and then charging a little bit too much to the traveler as well. He thought, why don't I come up with a system that's made just for DMOs, just for CVBs and people that have websites. They want traffic to come to their website. They don't want a third party to be involved. They don't want to send people away from the website. What they want to do is capture that audience, push a low commission through, make it happy for the customer with a two-click process to get to a hotel, make it very happy for the hotelier, who then can show all of their inventory instead of just what they allocate to one of the third parties, like Expedia or Hotels.com or Travelocity. It takes a lot of effort on the hotelier's part, for those of you who haven't done it, to actually allocate the inventory that you're going to put out, and then you're also going to discount it to about 50%. So what online booking has really done is treated it as day-old bread. What we want to do is take online booking and make it a real-time, or as close to real-time as we can get, opportunity for the traveler and for the hotelier to hook up and use the website as that portal. So the sixth employee at Walker Digital, which is the parent company of Priceline, was this fellow named Andrew Van Lucien. And he worked there and came up with all the ways to suck all the money out of every municipality that he came into. And then in 2004, he returned to Santa Fe and started working with the CVB because they said, we need something, some functionality on our website that's going to make online booking available. Well, he came up with an idea that has a couple of really good little quirks that you're going to love that made it available for everyone who wants to come to Santa Fe to go to santafe.org and immediately find a hotel room without a whole lot of hassle. So since that day, we've moved across the country. We're now in 125 markets, and we've got another 40 in the pipeline. So we're going pretty quickly, but it does seem that we can get you up and running in 45 days still with the crew that we've got. We've partnered with a lot of the hotel chains, and I just looked through the town. I guess we got a couple of Best Westerns and not that many chains, mostly single-owned properties. Is that correct? Yeah. So when we come into a market and it's nothing but chain properties, we've worked with all of these guys. We've got hotels across the world now actually on the Jackrabbit system. But we can come into a market and immediately hit the ground running with all of these hotels. So the IHG group was the first to come on, and we've just added Hilton, and we're getting to a number of other properties that makes it a lot easier for the market to accept the Jackrabbit system because there's no interface. It's all done on the back end of the reservation from the chain. This is what we have is called a widget that you put on your website. And instead of what Travelocity would use, which is a little widget that takes you then to their website, what we like to do is keep them on your website. So you can see these are the different designs we've done in different markets that integrate with your website, your design, your colors, your scheme, whatever you want to do. You want to make it long, you want to make it short, we can do all of that, but the function is really just the same. What we can do is put in the dates, look for a room, find it in two clicks. And we've been working with San Luis Obispo CVB, the county CVB, for about a year, and it's actually worked out pretty well. And the guts of the system are just like this, as you see. You'll come up and say, book a hotel. You'll put in your dates. Jackrabbit will remember your dates and then take you to what's basically just a pop-up. And it's not taking you away from the website. It's just another screen coming up. And you'll see there's a little picture, a short description, some amenities, and then over in the corner where it says book with hotel now, that is your price and your book with hotel now. And you can we'll go through this in just a bit when I go to the website. But you can immediately say, okay, that's my price, and you book with hotel now. When you click that button, it immediately goes to the booking page of the hotel. It's your page. If you have online capability and you're listing something on your website, what Jackrabbit does is it goes in and scrapes the inventory every evening and then shows you what's available for the dates that you've chosen. So it really is pretty simple. You go from the first screen there, enter the DMO website, look where the dates say book a hotel. You go to the little pop-up, and then you bang, right onto the hotel's website. So instead of getting a third-party piece of paper, which is basically just a referral, you're actually getting a customer. You can then remarket to that customer, do whatever you want. That customer is talking to you directly instead of talking through a third party, and the only person that's paying commission is you, and it's a short commission, a small one. And we'll get to that in just a bit. If you've got any of these reservation systems, we can interface with you immediately. We continue to build new interfaces with all the different reservation systems. And before I went into this, I thought, you know, maybe two would have made sense, but it seems like there's about 350 that people use. So we're continually updating and finding, you know, whether you're using iHotelier or Webervations or any of these, you know, InLink, I guess, is a big one. Any of these types of reservation systems, Jackrabbit then works with that, interfaces, and gets all the inventory that we can find. How are we doing so far?
Yeah, fine. These are rates off the...
We don't have any online capability. We can have you up and running in 10 days.
The average size of a Morro Bay hotel is about 30 rooms.
No problem.
So you just got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. And that makes it much easier. I mean, if somebody's just got a ledger and a pencil that they keep sharp and that's how they do all their reservations, that's fine. What you have to do then is enter the world of, well, do I want to put five rooms on the Jackrabbit site and see what happens? Sure. And all you have to do is say, I want to allocate this, and it's a very simple process. And like I say, we can have you up and running in 10 days on that.
But if you already have another booking engine besides that and you don't interface with it, what happens?
Well, we find out how easy that is to do. We've never been stumped 100%, but sometimes it takes as long as 30 days. Most days about, you know, 4 or 5 days.
Well, so, I think I've seen it on the Visitors Conference Bureau site where it just brings up those hotels. So if you punch in a certain date that you want, it just brings up that hotel and adds it to the list, and then you have to either call them or go to their website.
Yeah, that's if they don't have any online reservation whatsoever, any capability whatsoever. If they've got something that doesn't update their website and it's very difficult to interface, yeah, that can be a problem. But it's usually, you know, 2 or 3 out of a market of 100. And then if it's incumbent upon the hotelier, if they want to get involved, yeah, we can make that happen. The problem that we often run into is that, you know, you'll run into 2 or 3 that will say, I don't really know how to do this, I don't care how to do this, and that's all I want to do. So unless we have some cooperation on the hotel's part, it's really going to be difficult for us to get that done. You know, but if you have a motivated hotelier and you have us, it's going to happen. We cool? Okay, onward. This is the reservation engine that I was speaking about. If you don't have any capability and you'd like to have one, we set this up for you. The cost is very simple. It's $100 to set up, and it's $18 a month. And all that $18 covers is credit card processing. So if you want to move a lot of the slower-moving hotels into an area where you can take advantage of the traffic that's coming through the Morro Bay site, we can do it with this. And I'll show you a little demo if we have the time a little bit later. But essentially it goes from the pop-up into whatever hotel inventory you want to allocate. Then it goes to a rates page, and then immediately goes to put your credit card number in. So that's all set up through JackRabbit. It doesn't interface with GDS. It doesn't do anything else other than work with the Morro Bay site and the JackRabbit interface. We clear? Okay. Why online booking and why now? Because it's increasing at an exponential rate. You'll find that everybody is doing something online as far as travel, and that wasn't the case five or ten years ago. It really has. It's happening so quickly. We really don't have any other answers than to jump on board and do something about it. So 70% of travel reservations were booked online in 2008, up from 53% in 2007. When the 2009 numbers hit, it's going to be about 85%. One of the interesting things, however, and this is from the J.D. Power and Associates study, 16% of all that were made through independent travel sites. That's a market share of 1% for the online travel associates, that being Hotels.com, Expedia, Travelocity. They're not growing because I think what people are doing is realizing that all they're doing is grabbing commissions. So how many people do this? You go on to Travelocity, you find the hotel you want, and then you make the phone call. I mean, that isn't the most efficient way to do it. It's hard for you to track it. And, I mean, what happens if it's after hours and you don't get the right person or there's an answering machine or whatever? What you want to do is get a 24-hour capability to book online and do it at a real price and do it at a low commission. And that's what we do at JackRabbit. Excuse me again.
I need my tea.
When we come into a market, often enough we've had an online travel associate be part of the chain. In Santa Fe, for instance, when we came on, Travelocity was on, and we put our button side by side that said book with Hotel Now or Travelocity. Interesting that was people were about four times as often booking on the book with Hotel Now, and the conversion rate was much, much better. We're converting it in, depending on the market, we're in better than 6%, six times better than Travelocity. Every time you go to JackRabbit, people say, oh, that's great. I'm on the hotel's website. That's where I'm going to be anyway when I put my credit card in. Why do I want to book six or seven, eight clicks into a system when I can actually do it in two? So that 10% conversion rate came off the first month we did IHG in San Luis Obispo County, which was a great surprise to us because 10% conversion is pretty good, you got to think, right? I mean, we're doing about 4.5% in Daytona Beach and about 4.6% in Kansas City. Everything else kind of fluctuates. I think Santa Fe is coming in around 4 to 7%, depending. And the economy definitely hurt the conversions. A lot of people are doing a lot of tire kicking now. They're going onto a site and they're looking virtually widget to get right to the booking page. And that's what people are looking for. Five or six clicks in, they're not as interested in booking. Taos, New Mexico finally broke down and said, okay, let's do this. And they found out that their bookings went up 300% when they put the widget on as opposed to just a listing. Which is an interesting thing because when I first got into it, I said, well, I'll just go to the listing and I'll make the phone call. Well, not everybody wants to do that. And again, you have to have that 24-hour concept. I mean, what if you got somebody in a different time zone? You don't want to have a call center. That sort of thing is going away. So here's the San Luis Obispo County site. I think you've probably all seen this. Many of you are part of it probably. It works well. It has worked for the last year, and hopefully it'll work for many years to come. We went through almost 11,000 clicks through the site between July 17th and August 17th. So that's an amazing amount of traffic. It's a whole lot more than it ever was on the San Luis Obispo County site going through to hoteliers. And if you're going to be converting, let's say, at 4% on 11,000 clicks, that's a lot of reservations coming right your way. So if somebody could tell you that the Morro Bay site was going to get 400 reservations in a month, that would be pretty good, wouldn't you think? Well, that's what's happening with San Luis Obispo County. Obviously, there's some differences. They're getting about 26,000 unique visitors. I don't know the count on Morro Bay. I'm guessing from compete.com it says somewhere around 7,000 to 12,000. Does that sound about right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know, you could just take a look at that and say, maybe we'll get 200. Well, 200 is a whole lot better than what you're getting now. Okay, so simple why this is working as well as it is. The sample GDS reservation, you can see, goes from the third-party booking engine through the GDS, through the gateway switch, and everybody's adding a layer of commission. It's not that much fun for the hotelier to keep getting dinged with 2 to 5%. I mean, we're starting at 12% with GDS, and, you know, you're ending up at 18% probably. With JackRabbit, straight from the DMO through to your site, boom, you're done. The difference and the commissions, there's many ways we can structure this. One of the ways I suggested to John was that we wholesale the click count like we're doing with San Luis Obispo County, making it easier for the hotel because what you're looking for is to make your website work for you. And the website can work for you very well if it's free. So if we wholesale the clicks to you, you can forget about all of this. But the other two pricing models I'll run through. And it goes like this. The lead pricing model is, if we can, and this would be a tough market to do it in, take a flat 12% reservation fee. That would mean we'd have to interface with every single one of your hotels, embed a tracking bug in that, and then when we've got the tracking bug that we stick onto your site, it tells us where that reservation came from. So if we have a back end of all of your reservation information, we can say this one came from San Luis Obispo County, or it came from Morro Bay. And then we can bill you 12% on that. And that's a straight 12%. If that's impossible to do, and it might be a little difficult because, like I say, we have a lot of hotels that don't look like they've got great online capability, we can just do our secondary pricing model, which is a pay-per-click fee, 1% of your average daily rate for clicks. A lot of people like a sure thing with 12%, but the click model, let me just run it down for you really simple, and that's how we started with San Luis Obispo County, is you say, here's a click. 100 clicks is going to get us, let's say, a 4% conversion. So what's your average daily rate? Let's say it's $100. Okay. For one click, it's going to cost you $1. So 100 clicks is going to cost you $100. If you're converting at 4% and your average stay is 2 nights, you're going to get $800 off your $100. Follow me on that? So 4% conversion off 100 clicks, $100 costs you, and your hotel room is $100 and you're staying for 2 nights. So every conversion is $200. That's 4% conversion, $800 in your pocket. Yeah, so that's the tipping point is right at 4%. And, you know, depending on what we're doing,
I'm sorry, excuse me. What's the VCB paying now? You said they started at a pay-per-click. What are they paying now?
What right now, they're paying a percentage, or they're paying a per-click fee with a cap. And what I would propose for this market would be, and these are just numbers I'm throwing out, you could do a flat 70 cents per click and then cap it at $5,000 per month. I don't think we'd ever get there. But if you make it feel better, we can do that, you know. I think we'd probably be looking at somewhere around $1,000 a month in this market, just in terms of web traffic. And that would give you the opportunity to have the capability of online booking for everybody. And it wouldn't matter who was getting more, who was getting less, and who was, you know, worried about, you know, where their system was.
Isn't the VCB absorbing the cost, and mm-hmm. they're not passing it on to the hotel?
That was their choice. In most markets, what happens with the host site is that the host site will have a revenue share. So let's say the numbers are down, obviously, this year. Santa Fe's had a tough time with the recession, but I think everybody has. So use those numbers as a guideline, but a 10% share with the Morro Bay site is what we can do. So if you wanted to wholesale the clicks, if you wanted to do it on a per-click basis with all the hoteliers, all that's up to you, and that's obviously going to be a discussion long after I leave. Cool with the pricing? But bottom line, all the pricing options that we have are going to save you a lot more money than they are with an online travel associate.
Excuse me?
Yes.
Do you have these as handouts for us?
Absolutely, we do.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I never leave without having you know where I come from. So with BookDirect, which is our primary function on JackRabbit systems, it aligns the customer demands to have a booking engine functionality on travel websites. It aligns with the growing consumer preference to BookDirect, enables automatic inventory and rate allocation, requiring no additional management on behalf of the lodger. That's one of the things that's really been a problem for a lot of lodgers. They really don't like allocating inventory. And if you see people who have Travelocity DMOs, like Santa Barbara, for instance, has Travelocity on their site, if you go to it, and I just did the other day, you find that out of 85 hotels, there's only about 30 participating, and the allocations are so low on all of those rooms. For this weekend, for instance, there's only eight hotels available out of 85 hotels. Whereas if I went on and said, I wonder what I can find, yeah, there's 85 hotels with rooms. It's a problem if you say, I'm just going to work with Expedia, I'm just going to work with Hotels.com, because it just doesn't work that well for all parties. Some people don't even allocate any inventory, obviously. So we're up 72%, book to rest costs 72% less than third-party booking engines. We generate 3 to 6 times higher conversions, and we're driving 16 to 24 times more reservations from DMO websites than third-party booking engines, and it's completely free. We thank you for that, and if you'd like to take a look at any of the stuff that we've got.
So you're just a quick a numbers recap. You think this market is about 1,000 clicks-ish or so a month? Is that your...
I would guess that, you know, based on what I've seen. I mean, if you're getting, what do you think, John, 7,000 to 12,000 uniques? Is that what we're...
I would say upwards of 12. I think we talked about originally if we looked at a 12%, it was going to be about $8 to $1,000 a month for the cost.
So we're about 1,000 clicks, and we're going to get about 4% conversion or 40 rooms on that a month?
And my recommendation originally was to kind of follow the county path and not take any revenue, just so this would be a value added for the stakeholders as part of the BID. In other words, you would pay for it. And I'm not marking it up. I don't get any commission on it. It would just be a direct cost.
Yeah, it's just a very light revenue stream. 40 in a month over 30 days, over 30 hotels. And okay.
Yeah, it depends. It won't cost you a lot of money.
It doesn't really turn me on. I mean, anybody really?
What you can do with your website is obviously get better Google search. You can build it up to 20,000 uniques, I'm sure, if there's that sort of demand in the market. And I would think that Morro Bay does have the cachet of it's a great place. Obviously, you've got your feeder markets from the Central Coast. You've got Los Angeles. You've got everything that you need. And the amount of money that you're spending now with your BID in terms of all the marketing that you're going to do is obviously going to make your website look a little bit better. So that 7,000 to 12,000 number could go to 20. And then you'd be looking at some real dollars.
Yeah. Well, theoretically, we're going to book 40-ish rooms. I mean, if my math is right, at $150 or how much is that? Anybody have a calculator for
Let's see. If the ADR is $60, which it isn't. But if the average daily rate's $60 on it, it's $28,800 a year. So double that if you're...
And we'll pay about half of that in fee on that money.
You'll pay 70 cents per click on the wholesale model.
Which is about half of that revenue picture-ish.
Well, if it's $60. Less. If it's $120, that's double. It's
just
almost,
trying to get a number in here.
$60,000.
You've got a revenue... potential, if you will, let's call it a $70 market, okay? So you've got revenue potential per month of $28,000, is that correct? $70 times?
No, that's at $60
per month.
Month, it's, I'm sorry, where am I? It's, where am I? At 40 rooms, it's $2,400 a month at $60.
Okay.
So, but let's use $100, then you'd be at $4,000. You could
It's $4,700. That seems a reasonable return.
Yeah,
and I can determine the exact unique visits. I mean, the thing we've been looking at is total user sessions, which is on an average.
So that it's a very, let's take a look at Santa Fe, for instance. If you make it as simple as you say, I want to stay two nights on August 20th. And I want to stay close to the plaza, and up comes all of your lodgings. Well, there's two of them. How about that?
Huh.
What did I say? Not close to the plaza. What did I say?
Well, it's also today.
Oh yeah, let's make it another date. What do you say? There you go. You've got a list view, a price sort, or a map view. In your list view, you want the cheapest hotel room. There you go. You can stay there in Santa Fe. You want a list view. It's just going to be a random sort. Every time it comes up, it'll be somebody different. And if you want to go to a map view so that somebody can see where they're staying, we can give you this. And then you can book straight off the site if any of the... any of the hotels are on the site that you're looking for.
I think that we would probably all agree that there's, you know, value in having a direct-to-you link. So I think what it's going to come down to for all of us is a discussion over price, truthfully.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, kind of how it is in this market right now. I'm sure you're pretty familiar with that.
Well, are you guys buying Google AdWords right now?
Pardon me?
Are you buying Google AdWords right
no.
now? Okay. Same basic concept when you're buying per click. You know, Google AdWords is a good way to get people to say, oh, well, you know, I've never heard of Morro Bay. Let me get there.
But we are with the added budget that we have from this group, we are considering pay-per-click.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of opportunities. And, you know, when you get to a Google AdWord, you're looking at probably a 1% conversion, if that. You know, sometimes a lot less than that. But I know a lot of folks who do a lot of different stuff with Google AdWords, with you know, any of the social network sites are actually starting to be players in that market as well.
We had one discussion about the competitors and costs. Maybe you can just give a really briefly kind of an outline on that. You talked about Travelocity and...
Mm-hmm. Sure, my favorite discussion, actually. When we took over at the CVB of San Luis Obispo County, the previous months to our arriving, there were 5 and 12 bookings through Travelocity on the same site, basically laid out the same way, in the 2 months previous to Jackrabbit coming on board. When we came on board, we immediately, the very first month, at 4,000 clicks through the Jackrabbit system, we were converting on IHG at 10%. If we can extrapolate that, that's 400 hotel rooms per month immediately with Jackrabbit, as opposed to what Travelocity was doing with their 5 and their 12.
And then you mentioned another your principal competitor. You felt that because of the size of Morro Bay that they...
Yeah, the other competitor is out of San Diego, a group called A-Res, which they do the San Diego CVB site. They do a very good job. It's a little bit larger opportunity. I think they do Reno and Tahoe ski resorts as well. What their major capability is doing packaging. So what they like to do is say, here's your flight, here's your skis, here's your room, add a layer of commission on each one of those things, and then package it together for the hotel. So it's a little bit different. I think they also do they can do Anaheim as well. But A-Res is a good opportunity, good outfit, but like I said, they're not in the smaller markets. What Jackrabbit can do, because we are lean and mean and everything is done remotely, we can come into any market, any size, get you up and running in 45 days, and then see where the revenue falls from there. It's worth it to us because it's not that much work once we get the hotels aligned. And after that's done, we can add hotels as needed. What we found in certain markets is that if you say, this is what it's going to cost you, the CVB is reluctant to adopt the system because, well, for instance, you've got a magazine that you're selling to all your hoteliers. You've got maybe some email blast that you're selling to all your hoteliers. You've got 1,000 different ways to poke the pocket of the hoteliers through a CVB website. Adding Jackrabbit on is not usually something everybody's really anxious to do. When the CVB says, look, I'll just wholesale the clicks, absorb the cost, and make you guys happy, you can make up for it on the back end. You can sell a lot more ads. You can do a lot more stuff. For instance, the reason primarily that the county side did what they did is that they've got their gold and silver and bronze listings, which they're extracting a dollar from every hotelier. And that moves you up the list of their listings. Well, then adding us onto that, there was some pushback by people saying, look, I'm tired of paying you guys all the money in the world. Why don't you just make this free? And they said, sure, we will.
So with that, let me confer with my colleagues here. I think that for me, I completely see the value in a direct booking site, a direct link, and I think it could take
people. people that are around us. And one thing that I found as I went onto those home pages, I saw an awful lot of this. So, and I will tell you that the Santa Barbara situation, I've experienced that, because there will be times when you want to go down to Santa Barbara and it looks like everything's booked. So I think we definitely want to avoid that and have, you know, everybody participate and make it fair.
Yeah, Travelocity is a bad choice. I mean, nobody loads inventory in Travelocity, I don't think. So,
not to pile on these guys, but I don't know if you've kept on top of what they're doing as far as paying out some of the municipalities who've asked for their taxes back. $21 million with Anaheim, another $20 million up in San Francisco, and there's about 125 lawsuits pending. Because what they were doing is taking the hotel room from you, selling it at 50 cents on the dollar, paying you 50 cents on the dollar, selling it to the customer at the full dollar, paying the taxes on the 50. And their argument is the global marketplace is very different, and the judge in Anaheim says, I don't know about the marketplace, but I do know about Anaheim, 21 mil. So you won't have any of those problems with Booking Direct.
So getting back to that, money and price and Morro Bay and what they can do, I think that I think it's good value. I think what's going to happen here, though, is we have quite a few or a handful of smaller hotels, motels, that do not have web capability that still do. I mean, I was standing in one when I was talking to them about getting the BID going, and, you know, the answering machine is answering the telephone while she's on another call. When she called the customer back, they don't even take a credit card for the reservation.
Well, that's
why
we
book on good faith, and you know, I mean, they've had those customers coming over here for years, and they book on good faith.
They can still do that. What they also can do, if you can get them there, which is obviously a challenge, is use our reservation system that we've designed just for hotels like that. Because going across the country, we find that, you know, 40% don't have any capability. So we came up with this, and all it is a credit card processing system. If they can get around to the idea that I'm going to allocate room nights to this thing on a daily or weekly basis or whatever, they can use it and see how it goes. If they don't like it, it can bail on it. It doesn't take any more than 2 days to get the thing set up.
But what are they going to have to pay to do that?
$18 per month for the credit card processing fee. None of this comes to us, by the way. We're just doing it as it's better that everyone's involved. $100 setup and $18 for the credit card processing fee. And that goes straight to the credit card processing company.
So there's no individual booking fee for them?
No. All I have to do is keep it up. And if you're that person who's been waiting for Fresno to call for 20 years, it may not be as easy for them to grasp the concept. But, you know, it's working in a lot of the markets we're doing. And then if you want to, you know, include everybody, bring in the trailer parks, bring in the campsites.
I'm sorry, I have a question about that.
Sure.
I just want to clarify. Is that $100 setup, that's $100 to set up to get them going on a reservation system,
mm-hmm.
or is that $100 setup per hotel no matter what?
It's $100, well, whoever wants to adopt the system, it goes straight to the credit card processing.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't have credit card processing on it online, rather than pay PayPal, which is going to cost them a lot more and be a lot bulkier, you can set it up with us, and then that interface is just with our site.
So that's only those who don't have a credit card system would pay.
Or any online reservation system.
Or any online reservation booking system, they would pay that $100.
Yeah, $100 to set it up, $18 per month thereafter, and that's just for the credit card processing fee. Mm-hmm. And that way they get capability of being part of the online fun.
Okay.
That's it for me. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Shall we have, as we get the business card? Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, enjoy the rest of your day in Morro Bay. There's lots to do and see. So, shall we move on to the rest of our business, or do we want to continue with the discussion on Jackrabbit right now? I mean, shall we bring it back?
It's really up to the board. If they want to discuss it further or give further direction to staff, they can do that. Or it can just be tabled for the time being. You know, it's really up to the board what they want to do next.
I have a five-minute question.
A five-minute question.
Well, hopefully it'll take 5 minutes to answer. Having missed the budget meeting, have we budgeted money for this?
And I actually have an extra copy of the budget if you want it. We budgeted $8,800 for that. For outside booking agent.
All right. The other thing, can we just run through real quick?
And charge a commission to airlines or hotels. These are the new travel agents. And so they charge us a fee. They come into our system, and we go into their system, and they book the room for us. They charge us a fee. They charge you, the consumer, an additional fee.
So, Jack, if we hire Jackrabbit, how are their fees generated?
Every time somebody clicks.
Yeah, every time you click a widget, it's 70 cents.
Okay, whether they book or not?
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
And it sort of goes along with that you've heard of pay-per-clicks. It's basically every time that somebody would go in, even irrespective of whether they booked a room, we're going to pay for that.
But we can negotiate for that pay-per-click to be capped, from what I understood on his conversation, which I think would be the best thing for us to do, because obviously if we start getting a gajillion million hits there, or if, you know, something goes crazy in this market,
right.
Just opens up.
Maybe in July or August, if it just, you know, really peaks, then you might want to
have a nice cap on it. Right.
All right.
How do you prevent someone from Jackrabbit just going in and clicking on it a million times to get your fee up?
That's a good question.
Can you answer that for us? Thank you.
Sure. We actually have a I don't have that kind of time. I got too many markets. No. What we can do is
good question from a city attorney.
Yeah, no. What happens is when we send you your reports at the end of the month, anybody who's clicked more than 10 times on any particular is filtered out. And that from one URL, if it's, you know, 10 times, that's a lot more than you should click, and we'll just get rid of you. And if it's anybody, when we set the system up, my computer, all the computers at Jackrabbit, which is, you know, I think four engineers working on the thing, they're all filtered as well. So trust me, I'm a perfect stranger. It works.
We have the option of doing the 12%, I guess, for anything actually booked. So it sounds like it's more complicated, and that's not what they really sell. But
I guess what we need to see is I think we see value in this, but I think we need to see, you know, hard numbers come back to us and take a look at. I'm more numbers oriented. So how do we go about that?
What type of numbers are you looking for? Are you looking for the actual contract negotiation? I mean, to talk with Jackrabbit to discuss that and look at their contract and bring at least back a draft contract for you to review?
I think that's what that's what I'm looking towards. I don't know if anybody else.
Easy to get in? Is it easy to get out?
Yeah, how long is the terms? Okay. What if it's not working after 6 months? Well, you know, of course, 6 months, that puts us right into when? February, so, you know.
Our normal term is a year, mm-hmm. which is fine. If you guys don't want to do this after 30 days, give us 90. It'll work better. But if after 90 days you say, I don't want to do this anymore, sure, you're out in 30. It's not a big problem. I mean, if this will work, the matter of how well it will work is pretty much the issue. And if you're looking at it and saying, look, I've only got, you know, let's take San Ynez, for instance. They're getting about 15 to 20 clicks a day. Going into it, they swore that they had 12,000 unique visitors on their site and that it was going to work so much better than anything else. I said, no, this looks about a 15 per day click, and that's what it's turned out to be. So that really doesn't come out to a whole lot of money at the end of the month.
I think the only thing I would say is that if we do our job right and we have a new website and we have this, you know, we have four times the amount of advertising that we used to have, we're going to have more. So it's. I always thought about the cap and the percent, although it sounds like it may be more of a challenge. But if you'd like, maybe one way to facilitate this is I can work with Steve, get more detail, work with staff, and then bring something back to you that has more numbers to it and actually try to really determine exactly the unique visits that we're getting and work with our web stats people and have a little bit more concise thing to look at. I thought this was just purely for you guys to be able to ask questions that I couldn't be able to answer. Not
if you want to move right to the contract, that's usually a good thing for me. I can shoot you a copy of that
good for you.
Right now. You know, so if you want to take a look at the contract, I'll get that over to you this afternoon if you just give me your card.
The other thing I would like to have staff look at is the difference in cost for us as a BID in picking up the fees the way the VCB did versus not picking up those fees for the hoteliers. I think it would be a nice benefit for us since the hoteliers are at the desk every day on the front line saying your TOT is 10%, the citywide assessment is 2. It's very, it would be nice to give them back a benefit for sometimes standing there in the line of fire. And so this might be a way to show benefit to all of them and also to help some of them move to modernization of a useful tool for them.
You know, in the case of the San Luis Obispo County, again, they've made up more on selling their gold and silver listings than they ever would have had received from us. I mean, it really works well because once you get to that point, you're already picking their pocket one way. Give them a bone and they'll let you pick it another way, I guess is the best way to look at it. You know, if they're selling 4 or 5 different ways to extract revenue from...
None? Great. Let me get back to the agenda. Okay, so we will be moving on. Thank you very much. We will be moving on in our agenda. We have... In the interest of time, I believe that we do have two of the board here have another commitment at 11:30. So I was hoping that we would. Did we want to move the general budget report forward? What were you interested in?
I was thinking the website might be real important because since we have the city attorney here and he worked with Peter and myself and city manager to talk about some of the issues.
Okay.
That might be real important because we want to go ahead and start moving forward with doing some work on the website if we can. So
okay.
That might be a real benefit.
All right. Well, then, would it be okay with everybody if we move the order around and changed to move the website up on the discussion? Okay. So then I don't see anybody saying no. Let's go directly to E, discussion on the website.
Okay. I wasn't at your previous meeting, but my understanding was for me, from a legal standpoint, to look in the ability for the bid to have the same website that's currently under the Morro Bay Chamber and how that would work with the stakeholders. And so I met for a couple hours with Peter and with John and with the city manager, and we went over how it all works together. And there are some issues that we have to work through to make certain that the stakeholders and the website is you know, pretty much all about them since, you know, they would be contributing to it. But I think they can go hand in hand, and I think legally we can do that. But we've got to make some changes to it, obviously, and figure out, you know, those members that are chamber members that might not be bid members and that type of thing. What I thought the best way to do it would be is, as I mentioned, is to promotion, is to have the subcommittee of 2 promotion committee members and 2 members of this board, and to begin delving in deeper into those issues so we can kind of go through it all and explain some of the problematic issues that they have with that and see how we can make it work. At least from staff standpoint, we like the idea of only having the one, the Discover Your Better Nature, and having it all work together as opposed to 2 opposing sites. And I understand that was, if it can be done, that was this board's goal also, and I think it can be, but I mean we've got to work through some of the reservation issues and some of the other issues to make certain that it's proper and that we don't get any complaints. So that's where I think kind of, and the chamber has issues, you know, with how they run their side of the website. But I certainly think from a legal standpoint we can do it. It's just we've got to get there. And so that's what I'd like to do is more of a roles. Have 2 people. It can be the same that was on the budget subcommittee or 2 other ones. It doesn't matter to us. But to begin rolling up our sleeves and looking at it like we did it and then bring back what our recommendations would be.
I'm sorry, you're talking about 2 people plus Peter or 2 people including Peter, just so I know. Plus 2 people plus Peter is right where we fall for the Brown Act.
Right. So you could still do I think you've got to have Peter on it because he's got a separate role automatically. So I'd rather keep Peter's hat, which is difficult for him, but keep his hat as a chamber hat as opposed to the bid hotelier hat, and then have 2 from promotions. So, you know, actually I think Peter's actually a third one, although he does sit on this board, but seeing as the chamber because they do have issues completely separate than the bid.
Agreed, making sure. Okay, so then would we move forward at this point with forming a website subcommittee? Okay, so Peter's an automatic, so we're taking two more. Is that correct? Okay, I would be willing to sit on that. I think that's going to be a much more long, involved process than actually the budget ordeal meetings, the great budget meetings that we had, because I think website is ongoing. You know, just because we make a couple decisions to get it up and running, website's always going to be ongoing. Is there anybody else who would be willing to put their time forward for that? On this committee, who would be willing to put their time forward to be on the subcommittee?
And if none of the other ones want to, because it is going to be a big commitment, especially for the first couple of months until we get this all figured out what the change is, and I know that's a big commitment. If no one here does, you could always nominate Michelle as the other person.
Well, that was my here.
That's what I was going to say. Actually, she indicated that she would want to be part of that. So, but I do prefer the absent, electing them. Always seems to work well.
It does a lot for future attendance.
Okay, yeah, poor thing. Okay. We'll call her at Disneyland today and tell her. So we'll put Michelle then on there and Peter and myself, and we'll come back to all of you with our reports.
Actually, I think that works really well, too, because the whole website will be a budgetary consideration, and that's the budget committee. It's a campaign that we did in the past. And this is really just designed to show you where we've kind of been and where I'm suggesting we go. If you could go to the next one. And this campaign all sort of modeled itself after the destination guide, which is now basically pretty much gone because we've pretty much gone through all those. But it's all around the restorative power of nature, which is the discovery of better nature. And the next one. So you can see there was a campaign that had been done. This was done about 2 years ago, and we've been utilizing these ads, among others. Pardon me? This ran in, this was the creative for Sunset for pretty much the whole outreach that we did. Westways was another one. And if you could go to the next. And then we had a series of ads that what we utilized, this would be like for Bakersfield Life, Fresno, some of the Valley publications, also Thousand Oaks area. We tried to always do a little branding, but also when we had an event coming up to publicize that event, especially the new events. And when the Kite Festival was brand new, we tried to utilize some of the dollars that we could stretch out and promote event as well as promote the city itself. The destination, and I think we would want to continue to do that, especially when we have events that we think can result in overnight stays, so there would be that tie-in and maybe event packages that would go into these ads too. So this is just, we have a series of these. This is just an example. We had the Tall Ships and all the other events, the Harbor Festival. Next one, please. And then this was actually some artwork that we designed for when we went to the Green Fest, and we developed sort of like the old Orange Crate kind of look. One of the things that's unique about Morro Bay is that we have a lot of agriculture, so this is sort of ag tourism kind of related, kind of a branding of the different types of more on the farming side and the green. This is just a piece of art that I thought I'd show you. And this is another example of an ad that would center around an event. This is for the Winter Bird Festival, and this went in Sierra Magazine because we felt that Sierra would be very attuned to coming for a bird festival. And then we get into some brand new creative, and this was shown at the promotions committee. And one suggestion that I had for the promotions committee is I would hope that the way we would handle the creative going forward would be the promotions committee would look at it, offer their suggestions, and then the BID group would look at it and offer their suggestions, and then we would run the same creative. I don't think any of us want to have a sunset ad where we have one ad from the city and one ad from us. I think we talked about that, and we all concluded that that would be not the way to go. One of the things that I mentioned is I recently hired a new copywriter, a gentleman from L.A., works for Shiat Day, and these were his collaborations with my art director. And one of the things we wanted to do was to kind of show how much activity and what you can do in Morro Bay, and also thinking about when you look at an ad in Coastal Living Magazine or Sunset, They all are pretty and they all look the same. I mean, they have beautiful scenics. We thought this would be sort of arresting for the person who's going through that publication and see this. So basically it's the to-do again list. And this is really telling people about all the things that can take place in Morro Bay, from visiting art galleries to fishing to hiking, and all centered around discovering your better nature. And then the next one, please. And then we thought about our unique selling points. Again, what is our brand? And our brand is we have a great natural destination here, and we're also one of the better valued destinations as well, as you compare ourselves to Monterey or Santa Barbara. So the theme here is eco-friendly, ecological, and economical. So those three bullet points and kind of our branding for that, along with showing all the different activities. And as part of this, we're in the process of doing a full shot list of new photographs that we can use, not only for the print ads, but also as we redesign the website, because we have a ton of photographs of the rock, and they're all spectacular, but we don't have a lot of photographs of people actually doing things like wine tasting and kayaking, and people like to see other people in their visuals, and we need to create those. We can't just go and snap a picture and hope that it's going to come off. So a lot of these pictures that you see are position only right now. They're off of Corbis, but they would actually have real scenics from our destination. But that was the idea there. And then this one is basically play all day and into the night. And this is all centered around one of the things that I think one of the things that we need to accomplish is that we need to get people to stay here beyond going home at 4 o'clock. And this is obviously to benefit the stakeholders. So we need to fulfill this promise. And we talked a little bit about this at the promotions committee. So we have to make sure we're not closing at 4 o'clock and promising that there's a lot of things you can do into the evening. But we do talk about going out to dinner and enjoying fresh seafood. And this is all designed, again, trying to consider that we need to support the stakeholders, which are the lodging properties. So, again, these are placeholder photographs, but we would actually have photographs. In fact, one suggestion was mentioned today that, you know, we don't have a picture of the rock. Well, we would have a picture of the rock in the background in that beach scene after we do our photo shoot, which is going to take place pretty quickly. And then finally, we talked about a quarterly newsletter and wanted to have a masthead for that. And this would be on the masthead of our email newsletter that we'd send out to all the lodging properties. And this would just be simply BID News. And I'm in the process of trying to come up with a copy for that. And I want to probably run that by everybody to make sure I collect everything. But the first newsletter we wanted to send out was more of a survey, and I'm working on that and have that for you soon. But I wanted to just show you that I think this would be a nice masthead for that. And then people would recognize that it's coming from the BID. I didn't get real creative with the theme or anything. I just, sometimes simple's best. It's BID News. And updates from the Business Improvement District. I think that's all I had. I just wanted to show you that we're working on some new creative and get your opinion on any of those.
Great, thank you. Any comments for John? No?
Yeah, there's not a lot of call to action advertising that you've done before, and how do we start about call to action advertising?
I think we're going to need to have a real serious discussion about packages and how we can facilitate that, because I do think that's going to be very important. It is tough on a destination. I mean, it's real easy on a hotel property to have a call to action, because we can say, you know, $99, you know, stay or book two nights, get one free. It's difficult to do that unless everybody's on board with a particular offer. So I think what we should try to do is to come up with some packages that we could include. But I look for your guidance on how we can put a price or have a, you know, more direct call to action on a destination. It's tough, but I like to do it because I think it'll work better.
I agree. It would be nice to have some packages in that, you know, we have packages where I'm at. I know you have packages. Michelle has them. I think Embarcadero, spa packages. There's packages all over this place. I just don't think we've gotten that out there. But I also think that there could be other hotels that develop them, and maybe they just don't know how to go about that. So maybe it would be bringing in our newsletter information forward from the spas or restaurants or maybe kayak or adventure. We seek them out to come forward and say maybe in the newsletter, these places are available to help you develop a package. If you'd be interested, this is who you contact, or something like that, trying to get them, the hotels that don't do it yet, information. I think that's what we're about, too, is information dissemination.
I think the easiest way to facilitate it would be, and this would, I think, and I agree with Mike, I mean, I think we, to make these ads stronger, we need a call to action. Possibly, if we could get enough packages, it sounds like they're all out there, they just need to be collected. And I just need to have those sent to me, or you know, some way to facilitate that. And then I think on the ads, we should have go to morrobay.org for special value packages. And because that's about the best we can do, even on a large ad, we can't really list all the packages. We could certainly have them starting at $99, but then again, people who don't have a $99 rate, is that going to bother them? But the best thing I think we could do is that, is to come up with that type of call to action. Or, if you wish, and since we're getting into the off-season, I mean, we could talk about, the cold copy could change to talk about Morro Bay's on sale, you know, and really come up with something like that to where, you know. But, again, I don't know how much we want to discount to do that. But
I think maybe with this first newsletter, putting it out there that we're looking for their packages would be a great way to start that conversation, open that conversation up.
Now, do you want me to send that newsletter out, or is that going to be one of the BID members?
Do you have everybody's email?
Probably
I don't
not.
Think everybody has an email, so if you get it to me, I do have an email list from when I was going around. You have everybody's email?
I believe we do.
Wow.
Well, I could work with staff on just facilitating getting sent out.
And let me correct that. It's probably the fax numbers we have of everybody.
That's right, because I had to go back and because I know it was difficult. Well, I mean, I don't know.
We do need all the bid email. So maybe we'll coordinate, and which ones we don't, staff can start calling and getting them all, because that is important that we have them all.
I did call everybody, and a lot of times they said to me, we don't have email. Unbelievable. We don't email. Can you please fax it to me? So
okay.
I did do that.
Well, and for those few that don't, then when we do the newsletter, then those would just be faxed.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Somehow I have a feeling that they don't have a reservation system.
Right. That's right. There you go.
I think it's important to draw on other businesses, though, too. I think there's probably retail stores that would want to get involved in this, you know, freebie things they might want to give out that'll bring people to their store. I don't think we ought to limit it to the hotels. Packages is kind of overdone, in my opinion. Not so sure that's a real workable thing.
Well, I would ask
when
the hoteliers
limited,
you know, their experience from it, because everything I've heard is what people want are packages.
Really?
When people come in so much to the visitor center, if we had a list of packages, my goodness, if they weren't going to stay that day, I think they would be enhanced to be able to stay, especially if they see, and I love the idea of different people on that package list. I mean, we did this with the city in the softball, and we included restaurants and all of the activities. And maybe 12 to 15 of the hotels, and it worked out extremely well.
We took part in that, too, and we had some big groups come in with their family, parents, and softball players, you know, because they don't come, especially in something like that, the whole family comes. You know,
right. So. No, that's it was. I think it would be a huge success if you had a list of packages and you stuck it, just like a coupon. We have a coupon, little coupon sheet that we have. I mean, everyone who walks in that door pulls those coupons.
Well, I think we started the questioning with circled on advertising and what the call to action would be.
Yeah.
So I guess what we want to do is could we get a subcommittee? Just maybe we should come up with packages, present them, and then see if we could get anybody interested in it. Do you want to participate in Full Moon Half Price? We could have restaurants do it. We could have everybody do it.
hotels do it and make it a...
Mike, I think that's a great idea. I would love to build them around activities, too, or mm-hmm. events.
Definitely.
Because they always, especially vendors and people who are coming in, they're going to spend some time. And the expo is going to be a perfect example because we're going to go around and talk to every single one of you guys and see if we can put a package together for them.
I think it's going to be really crucial to the success, the ultimate success of this whole marketing effort, if we can solve how we do this, because we've been at it a long time and it's been hard, but if we can just accomplish it and have ones that are not going to change too drastically, you know, so we don't have to keep going back every week and trying to get something new, I think it's going to increase business very quickly. And we now have the dollars to facilitate that and advertise that and promote it. And then the website, I mean, that's one of the things that I see this website, you know, I realize it's the stakeholders that have to have some value from this website. And I think if we have these packages, not only will the stakeholders benefit, but also the activities and the restaurants, mm-hmm. because that's, in my opinion, I mean, I still think that's what people really do look for. And I think that may be one reason why you see so many of them is because they do work. And they have to be they have to have a deal too, because everybody right now, it's like, what's in it for me? I mean, I'm sure everybody's experienced. Everybody wants to negotiate, you know, what they're going to get now, because they know their times are rough.
Was that a question that you were putting into the first BID newsletter?
Well, I was going to ask for, you know, would you participate in packages, but maybe we need to get a little bit more proactive and say, well, please send me your packages, or send us your packages that you'd like to.
Or, yeah, what packages would you be interested in participating in, winter, summer, blah, 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 yeah. So we could probably come up with some package questions. If anybody on the board has a package question that they think would be good to motivate, then maybe we should just get that forwarded to you.
That would be great.
Don't forward it to everybody, because you don't want to bust the Brown Act. So just forward it directly to John, and he'll put whatever needs to go on there.
And then maybe what we could do is just, as a charge between now and the next meeting, maybe we can really work collectively on putting these packages together. And then
that would be great.
Once we have that, and like the very first thing we could do is give Peter a list of them. So when people come in, I mean, that's
yeah.
All we need is the packages. That's easily done. I mean, that's a matter of just designing a sales sheet. And you see, there's a lot of requests for those.
Are you talking about combining different businesses together into a package? Mm-hmm. Tricky. Tricky to do.
Yeah.
Well, we ran into the same problem with the softball. And, mm-hmm. and honestly, once, I mean, it's, there's nothing easy about it. But once we had the matrix, so to speak, I don't know if you've ever mm-hmm. seen it, the matrix worked, and it allowed you to go, I like this hotel, I like this restaurant, I like this activity, and you had the opportunity to go to any one of them. So it wasn't gearing it to one person, because we had mm-hmm. horseback riding. We had it all. It's
well, you know, Peter, maybe that model is something we ought to try to work off of. Because
I think it works.
How do you guys feel about that?
It's a flexible model, and I think people really like that, because I know, for example, when I go with anybody who travels with their family, you've got three or four kids, they all want to do something different. One wants to horseback ride, the other one wants to surf, and my husband
wants to
fish. And
other ones want to shop.
Yeah, my husband
wants to fish.
Retail
needs to be in there.
I need to get away to the spa. So, you know, we need those flexible packages, and I think that is something that nobody else is doing, offering a flexible package. Nobody else would be doing it.
We are.
No, we are. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But if we could get that out there, hey, you know, you have the flexibility to come here and do a number of different things, rather than you've got this package where it's, you know, overnight breakfast and lunch. But if you had the choice of three different activities to throw in there, and, you know, that would really make it unique.
Okay.
So let's work on that.
Okay.
So are we sending John our package ideas, or is that what's happening?
Well, I think we could do that, because I think that would be one part of it. And then I could work directly with Peter, look at that model that he had put together for the softball event, and see how we could facilitate that, and then bring it back to the committee next month and see how we implement it.
And even since that softball survey, those ones that participated in it and see how it worked out. And, I mean, that could be a good model if everybody that participated in that says, sure, I thought it was great. You know, we'll get some feedback. I don't think we did any follow-up after the softball, but I'm certain that we can get probably Joe Woods to even do a little bit of follow-up, because he's got another one coming up. He wants to do it again.
Right. We discussed it. We both had an idea about how the model was, but the city definitely created a great matrix that made it all work. I think it's a great idea.
Good. Okay. So off we go then. Mm-hmm. And so you'll be getting it out there with the newsletter and with everything.
I think what I'll do is I'll go ahead and develop the newsletter, send it to everybody. You can comment to me about your changes. It's just not something that you would want to do interacting.
Right.
Then we'll get that facilitated, get that newsletter out. And then if Rob could work on, either they send it out or I get the list, however we would like to proceed, I'm happy to send the list to everyone and have them respond back to me. But whatever's appropriate, maybe it's they respond back to you. However we want to work it. I'm willing to do the work. It's just what's appropriate. But I think getting the newsletter out and having them some way to communicate back would be important.
Okay, and I will get with
Margie.
Yeah, to get you the email list of what I have. So shall we jump back to the general budget review, which I believe will include our first month of funds coming in, so we'll know where we're at for our first month of collections. Is that correct?
No.
I thought it was 44 after I talked to her. I think it went up to 44,000. So for our first month of collections, which was June. Oh, they're passing out a... Right, we were down a couple of hotels. We hadn't collected on a couple of hotels yet.
I always do that.
That's right, but she came back to me with an email after this.
Okay.
Yeah. So it says 37,000 here, but I received another email there. When at the time that this was printed, here it is. It's 44, yeah. This new one is
44.
So, yeah, we came in at 44, that's right, without one or two hotels fully collected yet. And you can see that when you look at TOT overall, we are, down from previous years. And I talked to Susan Slayton a little bit about year-on-year and what was going on. She said that the city actually had budgeted for it to be down based on what they were seeing as a trend.
I think we're holding our own as you look at the other destinations, though. I think it's not good that we're down, but we're not, I think, compared to looking at all the other different destinations, we're about in the same line as far as percentage decrease.
St. Louis last month was down 11% in their TOT collections. So that's a fairly substantial number for them. So I think going back to our number, I think that's a very positive number, 44,000, almost 45,000 that we have collected. I think that's good for us. That bodes well. It's a good start. We're off to a good start. And again, I want to remind everybody that that's only for June. That's not for July. Those figures will be in by the 28th. Well, by, isn't it the 20th today? They should be somewhere around the 20th. So, right. So the figures for July will be in sometime around this week or early next week. So I think it's doing well. Any comments from anyone?
I was looking for 5 or 6 years of history on TOT.
That's right.
Can we just so that we? I know June is down $300,000. So to me, that sounds like about 20%.
I think there's a couple hotels.
$330,000. Oh, off this, yeah. So I could go off this, right? So, great. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's significant. Okay, great.
And you want to see it
month by month?
Month by month, so you can see where the.
Yeah, we should.
Okay.
I mean, if this recession is like last recession, it came out very quickly, so we want to see. When that kind of happens.
Okay.
Maybe it didn't happen in Morro Bay, I don't know.
We'll try to do that in, monthly, every month, so you can see how that's going.
Right.
So it should be an ongoing report to you of that five-year history.
Okay, that'd be great.
And then the last page of this is the contributions. I believe Michelle had asked for this, or maybe it was you, Mike, had asked for the contributions to the SLO VCB.
The history.
Yeah, the history. And so this is the history of from 2008 going backwards to 2002, what was contributed annually. And so it's gone.
And this was
up and down all around.
And this was a city decision, correct? This was just based purely on budget, nothing to do with performance or anything?
Nothing to do with purely
just
budget.
Purely budget.
Yeah.
So this does not include, so this year's 2009, 2010 is only 10,000, is that correct?
Correct.
Correct.
I believe, again, though, they're going to look at it mid-year, kind of like they did last year. Last year, as I recall, they did 10,000 and upped it another 10,000. So at mid-year, so.
And that's the city's decision to do that?
Out of the general fund, obviously. I mean, if you'd looked at PASO,
saw that this morning.
But 20 of that 1,000 came from the bid, and then 19,000 came from the general fund budget. Mm-hmm. So from a general fund budget, they have only put in 9,000 more than our city council has.
I did meet with John Summers, who's the new director, and one of the challenges that I gave him, because when the two representatives came at, I think, our first meeting, the challenge was, well, what do we get more? I mean, we put in 10. What if we fully fund you? What do we get? And I didn't get an answer from him. And it's early. I don't fault him for that. But I said, I think that's what you're going to have to come to this committee with and give us some clear direction on what more we get for that added contribution.
I would be curious to know how many hotels or motels in this city are actually members of the VCB. How many of the 900 rooms are actually members of the VCB? Was it 20% of us, 40% of us, 60% of us? I think that that would be helpful to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because there might be added benefit. There might be an area of negotiation there for us.
Well, they said they were willing to reduce the membership cost by 25% if we contributed more. I don't know how much more it was.
Well, that's understood, but I still see an area of negotiation in the fact that we have so many hotels that are not members, that for me, if we said perhaps rather than make a direct donation or an open donation, for me, I was thinking maybe we get everybody to be members, so they have exposure on the website, rather than just giving them a blanket money. Or I don't know if you see where I'm going. Yes, right. We'll give you this money, but, you know, our value back, we'd like to see every one of our hotels have membership in your organization.
I think you're on the right course, because Pismo Beach wants some creativity in theirs, too, on the opposite end, because they said, when you consider how many people are members, we're giving you a lot of money with all of the individual hotel memberships. And that's another discussion I had with John. I said, I think the old formula of just simply, you have these many rooms, this is the price, I think they need to reexamine that. And one of the things I said, you might want to come back and say, and I know that they need hard cash to operate, you know, that's one thing, but I said, you might find it much more attractive to say to Morro Bay or to Pismo Beach or anybody that we're going to give you a break if you take $20,000 and run our co-op with us, because that's a real advantage to them. Because, and I tried to express this, that if they have $100,000 budgeted for advertising, they could eliminate that $100,000 if it's funded by all the different destinations, and it would be, I think, and it's real tangible. I mean, if we gave them $20,000, and I think that everybody on the committee wants to do some co-op advertising with the county, we ought to get some credit for that. I mean, we could give them the money, and if we didn't, then they don't have any co-op participation, then they're that much less. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I think there should be some advantage to saying, we want to do some co-op advertising with you, and can we get a break on what our fee is? And that's something they need to address. I mean, I can't speak for them, but I mean, from a standpoint of supporting my client, that's what I would recommend, to get some break if we're going to spend a lot of money on co-oping with them.
It would be interesting to know what PASO worked out with them.
So, you know, those are all questions that we'll have to ask them. Hopefully right. they'll come completely prepared. And when are they coming back? Do you know, Rob?
Until the end of the year.
They're not coming back here for a presentation?
Oh,
they were going to come back here to the BID
then
for
I don't
a presentation.
Know. Oh, I thought you meant City Council.
Okay, no, I just, they are coming back to us again for a presentation.
Presentation.
And
no,
I don't.
We can check on,
I think we scheduled sometime in September next month.
I think so, yeah.
I think we had said to them, let's bring you back in September. Okay, any other discussion on the budget or the general budget report? No? Be interesting to hear next time from you, John, what you see flowing out immediately out of that budget.
Okay.
I guess, one second, on that, on the booking agent there, the $8,800 that's budgeted there, mm-hmm. Are you feeling like that's enough to, after this presentation?
It was really preliminary when I put those dollars in, and he had originally told me, and what I wanted was a cap. You know, I didn't want you to have to do a pay-per-click, and then he mentioned that the 12% was going to be a little more difficult to facilitate. And maybe as a good salesman, he gave me the low figure. He gave me $800 a month. Mm-hmm. So that's something that when we come back and fully look at it, we'd have to readjust that budget for that. But we do have that large contingency fund where that could be taken from. But
and all of these budget numbers are fluid, too. I mean, there's not anything that says that.
But, no, I think it's low probably mm-hmm. after this discussion.
I would think so.
And then also when we would actually start, you know, I wasn't sure. Do we wait till the website's redesigned before we put the booking agent on? I mean, that would be the other consideration. So how many months we're actually going to do this would be how much we'd have to budget to. But I know we'll talk about the whole booking thing, but I would get some sort of cap without a doubt. Pay-per-clicks can go away from you pretty quick.
Yeah, I think once we have the report on that, we're going to recognize, you know, pay-per-click's a little more expensive. And we'll try and do the best we can.
And what I'll do is every month I'll come back and report to you. I think you saw the one document maybe that I started with. It has all the budgeted items, and it has what's been budgeted, what's been spent, what remains. I'll have that document to share with you every month, so we'll know where we're at with the budget. That just become part of my report.
Okay, great. Anything else on the budget then? All right, and we don't have to, we have no motions or anything, so let's move back up to B, because we skipped this one, and this would be the discussion on how to handle funding requests from other groups and events. And I had looked into this a little bit on my own to see what other cities or other BIDs around the country were doing. Because I'm sure, you know, they've had the same thing, you know, that they've gone through. And I did pull off the internet from a couple of cities the forms. And Rob, did Andrea give those to you?
Yes.
And so I did kind of download and print for us what I thought were, like, I looked through five or six of them, the best of the five or six, which were basically two from two different cities. And so I'm going to give those to you to look over and review, and we can discuss them now or even bring them back to discuss it after you have a thorough review. But one is from Kennewick, Washington, who knew? And the other one is from the Forsyth County Tourism Development Authority. One of these runs all of their BID stuff through their Recs and Parks Department, which is interesting. The other one has its own tourism board. And so they're just different forms that the people have to fill out for their organization. They basically, each of these cities basically has a cap of what they are, what their BID is willing to give out. Some of the cities do it in different ways. They say back to the person, okay, we'll give you $1,500 to advertise with, and it has to be all advertising, and you have to return your receipts to us for approval, blah, blah, blah. Other cities have done it where they say, okay, you get $1,500 worth of advertising through our agent, and you bring, you send your creative to our agent for the approval for the BID, because it has to be benefiting, any money that goes out of here has to be benefiting the hoteliers. So, for example, if the garage sale people came to us and said, we want to advertise the garage sale over in Fresno and Bakersfield, somehow their advertisement for the garage sale weekend would have to benefit the hotels. It couldn't be they were just putting their map out there. So that all has to have some kind of approval process, and that's why there's these applications here. And then if you see the one from Kennewick at the end, they have a City of Kennewick post-event report on the lodging tax funds that were distributed. And in order for somebody to come back and say the following year they'd like to have money again or funding again, they would have had to present this after their event to show that they gave benefit to the lodging tax funds or the stakeholders.
If I could just comment, I think that one consideration to take would be to have keep control of it, and I think the best way to do that is to have this board work, have me work through with them, but have you approve the ads. I think it's important not to give them just the cash, and being on the board for a lot of nonprofits, believe me, that's what you would prefer, because you need the cash to run the event. But I think from a standpoint, we already know where our advertising is going. I mean, we might be able to tag them along on our current advertising as a benefit. I mean, that's kind of what we've been doing in the past without having really any budget. If some event comes forward, we think it's a good event, we want to try to help them. You know, we may write a press release for them. But I think controlling it and not giving out the dollars is real important. And then also whatever branding message we have, to make sure that branding message is on that advertising, because we can still get mileage out of that as well as promote the event. That was kind of the example of that Kite Festival ad, was sort of like that. So we'd still have Discover Your Better Nature. I mean, all the different things that we wanted to do would be on that ad, so you'd have control over the creative part of that.
Yeah, and they're going to be, you know, coming to us for their posters and other things. And while we're running an ad that they may be able to tag onto, we'll definitely want to be tagged onto their posters. So we'll have to figure out how, what percentage of funding goes to that. And so it's an interesting position to be in.
It's always going to be a case-by-case basis.
Absolutely.
You know, and we have well-established events here that we know are successful. So it's just a matter of looking at them, I would think, and getting the form.
I think one of the ultimate criteria that you might consider is, does it result in overnight stays? I mean, that might just be it's dead on arrival if it doesn't.
Yeah, that's the first question, I think, on one of these is, you know, what description including your event schedule, are you seeking funding in collaboration? I would say that I would love to add, because there are some legality issues, I'm sure, with these forms. Is that correct, Rob?
It's more of a policy document on how you're going to proceed with them. You know, I'm looking at the, you know, how you do know when you want to do it. You know, they twice a year is really only when they consider it. If you look at the one, you know, you got to come in May or October to the board and ask for it and what it's going to be used for, and you have to do a report afterwards. So it's not so much legality, it's just how do you want to handle these. I mean, I'm thinking if it is known that you'll be able to hand out funds, there might be like the car show and all the other ones will be knocking at your door asking for a piece of the pie. And so, like you said, I mean, the big issue is making certain that it's going, these funds are actually producing those stays for it. So I think it's something you do. I'm not sure it's as hot a topic right now as your website, as your packages and in getting off the ground, but it's something I think at some point in time you're going to have to address if you want it all. The other way to do it is just simply say, no, we don't give out funds. We use them ourselves and determine where it goes. You know, but, you know, what it's kind of evolved in the city, you know, where we're now back to where most of the staff is kind of just working for all these events. But if you recall, what happened was is during the last budget crunches, we got the direction from city council to start charging all these events for police, fire, for equipment and everything. And then there was a bathrooms, so then they got closed for the 4th of July, and there's the huge backlash of that occurred. And now we charge just for the real basics, but some of these events do get charged. That's the first thing that comes to mind, other than wanting advertising, and I certainly agree that you need to have some control over where the advertising dollar is going so there isn't duplication. But there could be the issue of, you know, support on that end for some of these events.
Well, I definitely like the idea of not having people stand up at public comment and piggyback people trying to get their 15-minute presentation through. I think that, you know, for my idea was to maybe say once a year or twice a year we have a day that's presentation day. Everybody comes forward. We're barraged. And then the following month we'll announce who gets funding if they fit into the mold. You know, they fill out the form themselves to see if they fit that mold.
Right.
If they don't fit that mold, they don't come forward. It's pretty straightforward. So I think that if we limit it to once or twice a year, and I think actually with the form, they'll figure out themselves whether they're going to be able to show funding. And I agree with you, the website is way more pressing, but I think by the first of the year we should have something in place, because the beginning of the new year is when people are going to start saying, okay, we've got this and that and the next thing. I mean, it's too late for the Harbor Festival. It's too late for the Margarita Festival. It's too late for maybe even the Bird Festival in January, but it would be nice for them thinking forward. Any comments?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe for the first year we're still putting our things together, the website. Just we won't take them for the first year. We're putting everything together, and then after that we're putting our policy together, and then at that point maybe next year we'll look at it, because we have a lot of stuff on them. Our plate right now.
I think that's a good suggestion. Plus, we really don't know what our true collections will be. So it's like it's one other variable that maybe we don't want to entertain right now, not knowing what we're going to get.
All right. Well, then let's do that. Let's take a motion to maybe bring it back in spring to look at, because June will be 1 year. So we'll definitely, if we're saying we're going to do something like this in a year, we need to bring it back in the spring to look at. So
I'll make a motion that we table this. We're putting our policy together, and maybe in the spring that we can look at, considering funding or help funding events. But for right now, I think we'll table it till the spring.
I second it.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Good. Okay.
I think Peter and I might have to leave.
Right.
And I apologize. We made this commitment prior to this date of this meeting. So, as far as measurement of success, I could take that just for a moment. That, as far as the advertising is concerned, we do most of the publications that we're going to be in have reader response cards. People do circle those, and those go to Peter for fulfillment. So we'll be able to track those. Also, most of the digital advertising we're doing, all the internet advertising, is pretty trackable. Email newsletters, we get a report on how many were sent, how many were opened, and then how many people went to the website. And I'll provide those reports always to the BID as a follow-up. And I guess the ultimate, as I would see it, is the increase in TOT and sales tax revenue.
Are we have budgeted Google AdWords, correct? Because that lets open a plethora of traffic information that'll tell you if these advertising is driving traffic to the sites. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
So when does Google AdWords start kicking in?
It hasn't been developed yet, but we budgeted as part of the the internet advertising under the website.
And is there a timeline for some of the budget stuff, or is that in budget committee still?
Well, I think that would probably be the website subcommittee. Maybe give me direction on how we want to go with that.
Yeah, we haven't set any exact timeline. As you may recall, during the budget meeting, mm-hmm. there were some timelines set forward for when we might spend some advertising dollars. But any of that web stuff, if you look back, the internet advertising, it was pretty far out. We're looking at October, which is actually coming up quicker than you think. October, November, and March for some of...
But we get some AdWord campaigns going and see what type of activity we're getting into Morro Bay.
Right.
It could probably help us make decisions about the website. So is that something we should do quicker?
Are you talking about pay-per-click?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Are you doing that, or is it...
That was part of Jeremy's presentation
right.
when he came. So we can start working on that immediately and get you a proposal.
Okay.
Okay, so we will go, okay, we'll definitely consider that then in the web subcommittee. So, so how to handle our success, that's, or how do we measure our success is our next discussion, which was C.
I think that's what we were discussing.
Right. That is what we're discussing. Do you have any ideas yourself on having that?
No, I think we just need Google AdWords up and running so we can see the volume coming into the marketplace. And then there's some other Jackrabbit will give us some statistics. And then some of our internal statistics with web findings. Once we get Google AdWords and I think I sent you a template on what the what we could look for in terms of some sort of statistic package, which we should review every month, what sort of statistics we're getting coming into the website.
Right.
Because we're going to be spending most of our money, I guess, unless we've got specific calls to action, it's all going to come traveling into the website.
Right. For the most part, that will be where it's fulfilled.
We have to make sure that we set that website up so the back end gives us all the information we need.
We will definitely do that.
That's important. Okay.
And I just want to introduce a member in the audience. This is Taya, and she's an intern that's working with us, and she's going to be involved on your account. She's a recent graduate of the University of Arizona. This morning I said Arizona State, which just about killed her. But and she's a tough lady. She was captain of the lacrosse team on that school.
Nice. So. Well, welcome. Welcome to Morro Bay.
Sorry that I have to leave early.
Not at all. I think that moves us down to we should be finished with new business, moving down to future declaration of future agenda items. Do we want to come back with a special meeting after we have a couple of meetings on the website design? We may want to. How quickly do we want to move that forward? I mean, group that's left, do we want to discuss that?
How quickly we want to move what forward?
How quickly do you want to see that website move forward? I mean, do it
quickly.
Yeah, I think.
Thanks.
I think quickly. I'm just wondering if even the month. I mean, I want to make sure that we've got enough time to meet at least a couple of times and put together our thoughts and get put out a decent presentation of what changes and what needs to be accomplished. So I'm not sure the month is too much time, but I think we need to accomplish a lot within that month. Mm-hmm. So it's really up to you guys if you want to try to do it in 2 weeks, a special meeting. If there's some other items you want to try to present. But I know as a future agenda item, the only one I really saw was you want a proposal for the Google Ads.
Yeah.
And doing that as the one agenda item. And I don't know how long that'll take John to put together. But certainly, I mean, within the month, we'll have enough time to tackle a lot of the website issues.
Okay. Well, then we'll leave it as it is. And
also then we also want the joint one. I mean, if anything, the special meeting would be the joint meeting with the promotions committee.
And when would that be?
Probably within September. You know, I think we're right about there. Maybe right after the web, you know, we discuss website here, then we need to have them. Or maybe we need them for the full one. I'm not sure. I haven't talked with John and Peter and all of – when we get together, that's one of our first things. How do we want to – do we want to get everybody together in a meeting – in September, so that might be a joint meeting to do.
How often do they meet?
Once a month, same as
they
you.
They meet once a month.
Yeah, same as you
right before us, right.
So, okay. So why don't we keep it as just a regular meeting in a month, but if it seems to be moving quickly, we can always poll and see, you know,
we
could meet
together.
Earlier.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so you've got our future agenda items, which would be the website coming back and a Jackrabbit negotiations coming back, and anything else? Anyone? The Google ads coming back. Okay, if anybody has anything, we'll move to number seven, our adjournment. At this point, somebody?
I move that we adjourn.
And I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. See you next time.